When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big money at Menards.
Nice to meet you, Paddy. John Muir, how are you?
John Muir is my name. From Kilworthy, County Cork is my home club. Yeah. So hello to all the boys back there. We're on the go now for 5 years. Abu Dhabi Fianna Gaelic Football and Hurling Club. We've always had great support from the Irish Society and Noeline Saeed. We've got a ladies team that you can see training there now, Paddy. And we also have a men's team. There are seven teams in the Gulf, Paddy, all together. Mm-hmm. Riyadh, Dhahran, Bahrain, Dubai, Kuwait and ourselves, and Oman as well. So it's fairly strong at the moment. Different game from at home, Paddy. Just every 10 minutes you have to have a water break because of the excessive it's hard at times. And the GA was founded officially, well, there's always been Irish expatriates in this area since the days of Mike Daly and the old blue shirt there from Kildare. He's been here since 1957. But it's always been on and off, and kind of people coming together for odd and pucker owns, that kind of stuff. But it was formally started 11 years ago in Dhahran, Saudi Arabia, mm-hmm. by four people, and that was the start of the Gaelic Games. And from there, really, it took off. And now there are seven organised clubs in the Gulf, and you can see they're quite competitive. The standard would be like, it wouldn't be great now, a lot of them would be old fellas with bellies hanging off them like myself. But younger lads, they would be like a good junior team at home, put it that way. Dubai are very strong.
Are you here many years yourself?
I'm here now, this is my 7th year, Paddy, and I was 4 years before that in Saudi Arabia as well then, so I've been in Hawaii now. I like it out here, the weather is nice and there's no tax, and it's safe as well. There's no very little crime here, you see that yourself when you were shopping in Abu Dhabi, and there's no not like at home really. They know how to deal with criminals here, Paddy.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean they'd be fairly right wing when it comes to, if somebody damages property or injures a person, then they're made to pay for it in full.
The other thing, of course, when you're in the towns at night, there's not the same drink culture as at home, is there?
That's true, but you're right, but as you know yourself, we're lucky really in this country. It's a very free country. Sheikh Zayed is the president, and we're allowed to have bars here and everything, but it must be very discreet. If you're found with alcohol in your blood in public, it's an offence. So generally speaking, the lads would intend to get taxis home and things, and just be careful. There's no loutish kind of behaviour in the middle of the town at night time at all, you're right.
That's great freedom, isn't it, when you don't have to worry about being mugged at night. That's a lovely quality of life.
I think so, yeah. And I've married now, Paddy as well, myself, and I've two daughters as well. So she's a great comfort to me. My wife, Mary, me and Mary Kirby from Glenworth, she'd go shopping at midnight with no bother to her, Whereas at home, she wouldn't.
So that was a big decision in your life to move out here.
And frightening, yeah. I came out actually during the Gulf War, in the first Gulf War in 1991. Mm-hmm. The skies were black with smoke, and it was very traumatic. But we settled down and mm-hmm. it's a good company I worked for, and eventually we settled in here. I like it.
May I know what kind of work it is that you do?
Sure, yeah, I work for a company called HCT, and we sell training programs to the military and to the oil companies and to the police.
And of the two countries, the years you were in Saudi Arabia and the years you're here in the UAE, can you say what was What way do they compare?
Yes, I was very glad to get the job in Saudi because it's financially it was quite good for me to move from Ireland at the time. But I found Saudi quite restrictive, and my wife had to cover her hair when she went out and that kind of stuff. Whereas here in the United Arab Emirates, sure you see it yourself, Paddy, walking around. It's a very, very free country. You can, there's none of that all of the carry on. We have a Catholic church here. We have a Protestant church, and there's a Hindu temple. And whatever you want to be, you can be here. Yeah. It's a very, very free country. Whereas in all of Saudi Arabia, there isn't one. Ben, how's it going, boy? Can I introduce Paddy here?
Yeah, of course you can.
This is Ben Keogh.
Nice to meet you, Paddy. You're all right?
You're the captain of the...
The Abu Dhabi Fianna.
Of the Abu Dhabi Fianna, yeah. See, you're just sweating now from training tonight.
Well, that's it. I've been up for a quick run out with the girls first to put them through the paces.
Right.
And just saw our last big hard session before the tournament in the Gulf next week. Once a year, we get all the teams in from Saudi Arabia and Bahrain and Qatar. Mm-hmm. And it's a good tournament. It's very competitive. Right.
By your voice, you're from Liverpool.
I am, yes. I never played Gaelic until I came here. Right. And it was just that there wasn't much of a soccer scene in Abu Dhabi. Mm-hmm. And all my friends were Irish, so they dragged me along and took to it sooner.
There you go, Mark Hallett. Mark Hallett had, in the first half, 2-1 possessions. He had 4 in the second.
Come on, Mark.
And tracked back 6 times.
Yeah, Mark Keenan, first half, 6 possessions.
Well, we've a competition coming up. The finals are coming up Thursday week.
Yeah,
so it'll be one of our last practices on Thursday morning. Bright and early on the weekend.
You're breathless now, I know, but if I could talk to you for a moment.
Yeah, no problem.
You're captain of the team here.
I've been playing the last 3 to 4 years here. I didn't really play at home in Monaghan, but when I came out to Abu Dhabi, I didn't play the first few years and then I was talked into it. It was more of a social interest here at the beginning, but it actually gets quite serious, especially at this time of the year now with the Golf Championships coming up next week.
So who will you play against now during the Golf Championships?
We're playing against a couple of teams from the Gulf this year. We're not sure yet exactly who, but definitely our big rivals, Dubai, and probably a team or two from Saudi Arabia, and maybe one from Kuwait. We're just waiting on final numbers at the moment.
Now, as you say, there's a lot of expats here, Scottish, English, Australian swan. Do Arabian people ever play GAA?
I actually played against a Kuwaiti here 2 years ago in Mishela and Nubaya. Yeah. Completely covered. In Gaelic.
Yeah?
In GAA, yeah.
There was a Kuwaiti GAA team?
There was, mostly Irish and expats, but there was one local lady on the team. She was a corner forward. She was about six foot or more. Mm-hmm. So, a good player and was fully covered. So, yeah, it is starting to spread throughout.
She was fully covered, you mean, in clothing?
In the national dress. She had the headscarf on and tracksuit bottoms and shorts. So it's good to see it. I like the quality of life here. I like the climate. It gets a bit hot towards May and June, but as a teacher, I'm usually out of here by the end of June, so I miss that very high humidity and heat. I like being an expat. I like the kind of friends I've made here over the years, and I like my job here as well. So, yeah, it's a nice experience, but miss home at the same time. Glad to get home eventually.
What do you teach?
I'm teaching English to primary school children, local little girls over here in a VIP school in Abu Dhabi.
I suppose a Westerner will always look more noticeable than a local, but in your case, you have red hair and freckles. You're so obviously...
Definitely, yeah. Yeah, they do. And actually, it was funny. The first few times I was in taxis over here, a lot of the taxi men were very confused by the freckles and thought I had a disease or something. But at that stage, they were probably not as used to seeing freckles. But now, with the increase in the expat community over here, they're used to them now.
And red hair, like, not that many people would have red hair.
No, not so many. But apparently, one of the local ladies was telling me here that the locals, actually, when they go to Saudi Arabia and the Hajj, they actually dye their hair red. So for that reason, it's kind of unique, and they think I'm very religious.
I see. Even though your hair is not really red.
Yeah, a lot of them would think that it was dyed.
What's that?
You know Shukran, huh?
Abu Dhabi Mall, yes. It's Shukran.
You know Shukran?
No, that's my only...
I don't know. No speaking Arabic?
Shukran. Thank you.
I've lived in Abu Dhabi for 3 years, but before that I lived in Saudi for 3 years. I moved over to Abu Dhabi basically for love, because my wife came here, but she was my fiancée at the time, and I followed her over. She's from Australia, so this Irish lad goes all the way over to Saudi Arabia to meet his wife from Australia. So that was me in Abu Dhabi. I got a job working in the Higher Colleges of Technology, and that's my how I got started off here in the UAE.
Why did you choose to leave Dublin in the first place?
Well, it's a terrible thing to say, but I was working as a school teacher in Dublin, and I just knew. I knew, like, on the first day I came back into school in September, what I'd be saying on any given day in February, and I just thought, like, that I could do more with myself. I'm not necessarily terrible to say, but I just wanted to see, could I do more with myself? And having thought that, I got a phone call from an employment agency in town that he asked me, did I want to see someone about doing an interview, when it turned out to be the British Aerospace in Saudi Arabia.
So are you teaching still?
Yeah, I'm teaching computers to an Abu Dhabi Women's College out here, which is actually an initiative out here to get the women in the UAE fully trained up in third level training. Right.
They have a women's college and a men's college, yeah?
Yeah, education is segregated here, at all ages as far as I'm aware.
Even at third level, yeah.
Oh, very much so at third level. You can't have, like, how would you put it, like, students of marriageable age intermingling at all.
They don't mind a male teacher?
No. One of the reasons for that is because it gets the students used to taking instructions from another male. It's not a family member, because once they come into the workplace, they're going to be working with, well, anybody and everybody. So it's a really big step for them. Like, you can see, like, when the girls come into the college in their first year, like, they're really like, oh, what's all this about? But then as they get down to the, when they finish off, it's like, they're just like any student anywhere else. And in the men's college, they do the same. They have women working in the men's college. So needless to say, the guys have to get used to getting told what to do by women, which is not something that would be the norm here. But, like, when they go to work somewhere, well, they're the junior and the senior could be a woman, so you just have to deal with what you're told, like.
And your friends, would they be other Irish people and other expats of various nationalities?
Mainly other nationalities. Like, it really is people from all over the world here. Like, just, like, you find yourself, like, in work, sitting at a table, and you'll have, like, somebody from Australia, an Irish guy, an American, a Canadian, someone from the UK, and nationality isn't an issue. Everybody is all talking about the same thing, like, your pension fund, your currency conversion, where are we going on our next trip away, like, what the kids are doing in school. It's all stuff like that. Like,
would there be many friendships or interaction between the locals, the native people of the area, and expatriate workers like yourself?
Well, I mean, I'm working in a school here, so, like, there are quite a few locals here, but they're all women. And it's very difficult for them to have a friendship with you. Like, it's just a case of their families don't encourage that, and they don't really want it. So you don't find too many friendships like that. Like, in the building we live in there's, like, a couple of local people who live in the building, and we're very friendly with one another. But, like, it's, good morning, how's it going? Like, if they see you, you know, struggling in with a lot of groceries, they will help you. You'll help them. But, like, you know, I couldn't really tell you what Florida you've done, or what apartment you've done, like that kind of thing. So you don't. It's a friendship to a point, but not like when we go, like you wouldn't go for pints with them. Kind of thing.
Yeah, our socialising does involve going for a pint, doesn't it?
Well, ours does, and of course theirs doesn't.
And that's in here. El Shajara Octopath Shop.
We're down in the city centre now, Mike. What's the name of the street we're on?
Gulahara al-Dab. And the traffic is just one after the other. Bloody truck just blocks up the whole way.
That is the bottom.
Yalla. Don't let him out. Must go on my neck. Look at the blood. Look, he just stops there, blocks up the whole traffic. When I first came here 46 years ago, there was nothing. No water, no electricity, no roads, no houses. Just as an island would be constantly flooded.
And it used to be called the Trucial States then, I think,
yeah.
Was it?
Zayed was the Premier Shane. He got the throne. And important. Your man is still alive. I haven't seen him for, you know, it was 8 or 9 months, so he's not very well on his feet.
Sheikh Zayed is the man whose image we see around the city, I think.
That's the man. He'd be about, I suppose, 84, no, 85 maybe. A bit younger now.
You're 6 years younger than yourself. Yeah.
Oh no, go on up, Zayed, go on up. Straight. And the fountains in the centre, that's former resident of great friend of mine, Sheikh Sarur. He's now the ruler's favourite wife, Fatima. Favourite wife, Fatima. She lives in there now. It's a castle place.
Beautiful. His favourite wife, yeah?
Yeah.
So how many wives does he have?
God knows.
I think I will come back.
Don't you say, even though there was lack of water and so on, you say the people were hospitable here always,
oh,
you say?
Oh, yes. The water came from Dubai in diesel oil drums. It always tasted of diesel.
This is a lovely Jaguar, by the way, Mike, because this is your car, yes?
Yes. Since I could afford it, I always had a Jaguar.
And a driver?
No.
No?
Not recently. Okay. Right there.
So you were driving yourself up till recently?
Yeah, up till a couple of months ago. They decided this at 91 we should be driving. I do sometimes.
Yeah.
We pop in for a, this is my humble abode.
This is your house.
This is your
house. I will bring them over.
Okay.
Gosh, beautiful room.
It's a lovely, comfortable home you have here in Abu Dhabi.
Yeah.
And can I bring you back now to North Cork?
Yeah, born in the parish of Ballandyne, which is close to Kildorry, Mitchelstown for Moy. I'm halfway between Mitchelstown and Mallow. There's a village called Kildorry, on top of the hill, so naked and chill, sans famous Kildorry town. Bred, born and reared on a farm. I had to... Before you went to school, as soon as you got the age of 10 or 12, you milked. We had a large head of cows, about 40 cows it was. And you milked your share. And then in the summertime, put it in the churns and take it, deliver it to the creamery, where it was separated. The skim milk we got back for the pigs and calves, and things were fed by skim milk. We bred horses, get cattle and sheep, about 200 acres of land. And boy, it was hard work. I was a member of a family of 12, six boys and six girls. So there was no favorites in the... So there was potato picking, thinning, cabbage planting, everything had to be... Everything was done by hand. It was a tough life. Then in 19... the politics... You ever heard of the Blue Shirts?
Yes.
Well, I was a member. And as such, eventually we got into trouble with the police, so I had to leave Ireland in 1935.
When you were age 21?
21.
The Blue Shirts at the time, they were a movement associated with General O'Duffy.
General Duffy and Cronin were the two people in charge.
And what attracted you, Mike, into the Blue Shirts?
Opposition to the government.
De Valera's government of the time?
De Valera. Mm-hmm. Fianna Fáil.
And what were you worried about with De Valera's Fianna Fáil
government? Well, as farmers, of course, we always went broke. Because, you know, our market was the UK and just cancelled it.
The economic war with Britain?
Yes. Very, very severe. I mean, you couldn't... I mean, calves were born, I remember, they were just thrown on the dungheap. They weren't rearing. The milk was more valuable at 2 pence a gallon in those days, if I remember rightly. Money was very, very scarce.
And that ran you into difficulty, though, at home then, you say, because of being involved in the Blue Shirt movement, that caused you trouble at home, did it?
Well, trouble with the government, because we became engaged in anti-government activities, parades and things like that. We wore this Blue Shirt to stick out a mile. It was just something when you were young.
So you left Ireland then what year for the first
time? I left Ireland in 1935 and 36. A trip to the Middle East in a boat as a coolie, looking for work. Anything was, you did anything that you could. Getting on a boat and being abused by the chief
bastard. He hated the Irish. He had me over the side every bloody day, painting and scraping to my face. Mm-hmm. So I jump shipped at Cairo and made my way to Haifa and Palestine for the pipeline building. Joined the Palestine police in 1938. I was posted to Jerusalem. After Jerusalem, Haifa.
What was your experience then of being in the Palestine police in those years?
I mean, it's obvious. Well, I think we were more pro-Arab than pro-Jewish. I think the vast majority of Palestine policemen were a bit anti-Jewish. Of course, it was compulsory to learn Arabic, and I also learned Hebrew, of course, because the girls wouldn't speak to you if you couldn't speak Hebrew. And it stood me in good stead that I was back on the market in the UK. Went to Kirkuk, to Iraq. Didn't like it very much.
Did the intense. Was that with the oil business to go to Kirkuk?
Yeah, as on the pipeline, construction people. I was personnel and recruiting because of my Arabic leanings and knowing the language. I was useful in recruiting because we recruited an awful lot of Arab labour from everywhere. You can imagine the hundreds of miles, and every you move camp and on everything had to move, the kitchens, the workshops, everything. Bechtel Wimpey were the contractors, the American and English company.
Wimpeys, yes.
They were a great outfit.
And was there many Irishmen came out with Wimpeys to the Middle East then in that construction?
There was a lot. Wherever you went in the where labour was required, there were Irish people. And I was with Bechtel Wimpey in Syria. And when I went to Bahrain, I met Audrey, my wife, English girl. She was working with the IBM. And we got married in Beirut in 1948. And then she came here, and her remark was, she said, "Mike, what did you ever do to deserve this, get a posting like this?"
Here in Abu Dhabi, yeah?
Here in Abu Dhabi, because there was nothing.
You arrived here in Abu Dhabi in...
On the 28th of October, 1958.
And you've been here since, yeah?
Yeah. But she came to live here years away when I had a proper house. Poor Audrey. She died in 1978 after about 10 years of suffering. Cancer. Very, very sad. Michael then,
Your eldest son, yeah.
Eldest son. So he joined me early on, and he's been with me ever since. He's managing director of the outfit. We've got a thriving outfit. It's reasonably successful. And I think we're successful because my motto has always been, treat the people as you would like to be treated yourself, and you get great response.
And what is the business that you and your son are running now?
Yeah, we are running in the construction business, pipes and fittings and water, especially with water. Mm-hmm. Transport of water.
Do people here, do they drink the tap water?
I drink tap water. Mm-hmm. It never bothers me. But I'm not able to drink. I used to be able to drink a bottle of whiskey a day in my young days.
We hear the call to prayer.
Every day.
How many times a day is it?
Oh, 5 times a day, especially. I hear it first thing in the morning. And at 12:30, I can hear it in my office there and then. 4:00 in the afternoon, evening. Yeah, I don't know how many times.
And we hear it now for the sunset,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
It? Religion is very much a part of their life, isn't
they
it?
They seem to go to the mosque and they go to prayer when they want to. Mm-hmm. They know that I go to church every Sunday morning. Nothing I've never lost.
And it is possible you can get a Catholic Mass here every Sunday?
Every Sunday. Well, I have to build founded the first church. Mm-hmm. Jacques Boot was... strange, that, you know. Jacques Boot was the first ruler before Jacques Zayed. I was... Father Connolly, when I first came here, he used to come on a visit. And he came and stayed with me. And he'd say Mass in the house. And a few Catholics around, Indians, they'd come and visit him. And Jacques Boot heard. And he sent for me. And immediately, first thing he said, "I must give you land to build your church on." And he gave us a huge, it was some of the best land in Abu Dhabi to build the church on. He said, "Why shouldn't you have a church? Why should you have to go out and be in your house? We'll build a church."
Do you go back to Ireland then at all?
Yes, every year.
Every year.
And you enjoy yourself there? You go back to North Cork?
Yes. Still got a lot of relations around there. Mm-hmm. Go and visit them. The Keatings. The Dailies across the river from us. The Odawars. There's so many. Because as you go, you say, Jesus, Mick, are you still alive? Well, you're talking to me, aren't you? I must be alive.
We're on our way now from Abu Dhabi to Dubai, driving here in Olean. How long will it take us?
From Abu Dhabi to Dubai, 1.5 hours on a 6-lane highway.
Right.
Paddy. Traffic should be okay at this time of the day.
Be a fairly straight road across the desert, I expect, is it?
Fairly straight road.
And it's dusty, windy today, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm quite surprised. We do have sandstorms, or schmalls, as they call them, which occurs every now and again. It's like a foggy day over over the Garavogue.
Right.
Sligo, really. Here's Lochgill. Where is it? Oh, you can't see it. The mist is down. It's all this greenery here, you see. This was the complete desert. And they have spent quite a lot of money on planting. You see these lovely palm trees. Spend a lot of money on watering the constantly, every day. Sprinklers day and night go on to keep the lovely green look of the place.
And where do they get all the water from then, here in the desert?
They have the desalination plants.
From the sea then, yeah?
From the sea.
Paddy, will you look at the camels over there? Look, over there.
Right.
Yeah. There's about six of them.
Are they...
They don't look that big from here.
They're babies, Nolly and Orwa,
they'd be a younger... Yeah, they look quite small.
And are they just wild camels here in the desert, are they?
They're not wild, no. They would belong to somebody, but they're let roam. But you see here, it's all fenced in.
Yeah.
So they won't come across the road.
Yeah, so would camels wander onto the road? I suppose they would, yeah.
At once, before they put up all the fences, they did.
Yeah.
And you see the signs on, beware of camels crossing. But now, no. That's too dangerous. You hit one of those, you know, the car is...
Oh, jeez. And the sand blowing across the road, is that ever a hazard? Does it ever overwhelm the roads? Do they have
No.
We're coming into downtown.
Into Dubai.
What's the name of this road, Nolene, coming into Dubai?
It's the Sheikh Zayed Road. You noticed as we were leaving Abu Dhabi, it was the Sheikh Maktoum Road.
That's
Sheikh
right.
Maktoum is the ruler of Dubai. And this one coming in was the Sheikh Zayed Road, who's the ruler of Abu Dhabi.
Okay.
And the president of the UAE. And if here on the right-hand side, you see that your Emirates Tower?
Yeah.
You see the tall one?
Oh, I see.
The one there. Two towers.
Oh, look at that one there. It's all glass. It's all like mirrors.
So you have the Eastern style architecture.
Yeah. Very impressive.
That's lovely. Pint of Guinness. Cheers, thank you.
Lovely pint of Guinness. Best Guinness you get in Dubai.
Brendan O'Neill, you're here in the Irish village here in Dubai.
That's right,
in
the manager. Yeah. Most of the customers would be, you know, European anyway.
Mm-hmm. I hear American accents.
There's a few Americans in now. There's a ship in at the moment. I like Dubai. I love the Middle East. It's been good. It's been nice. Like, I mean, I'm here nearly 3 years now. And I was at home and I wasn't doing an awful lot. And then, but I had a small pub leased, and then the lease was up on it. And then I was kind of looking around to see when the pub.
Where was that?
That was in Clifton, because I'm from Clifton in Galway.
I see. What pub in Clifton was it?
It used to be called Humpty's.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Small little pub. Humanity Dicks.
That's right.
It was called Humanity Dicks before that, yeah. We're lucky that we're owned by the government here, Dubai Duty Free.
And the UAE government, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the managing director of Dubai Duty Free is a Galway man. From Ballinasloe, Mr. Colin McLaughlin. And Colin ensures that this Irish village out here is staffed, you know, mainly Irish staff. So they advertise in the Connacht Tribune and the Examiner, and that's why I just looked at it and I thought, why not, you know? What I like most about here, I think, is the safety of the area. You know, I bring out a lot of guys every year, about 17 staff last year I brought out from Ireland. That'd be one of their concerns or one of their parents' concerns, and I'm able to tell them with my hand on my heart that they can go out here, they can feel safe walking down the streets, there's nobody going to hassle them or muggings or anything of that sort. So it's very, very safe like that.
That sounds wonderful.
It is, yeah. I've never seen a city like it, to be honest.
It is very warm out there. We had a bit of a sandstorm today.
Yes, I noticed on the way, a sandstorm, yeah. That's quite exotic, isn't it?
It's different, I have to say. Very, very different. Very nice, though.
And when you're not working, how do you socialise? How do you enjoy yourself?
We have a great time over here. It's just everything is orientated towards ladies. Everything is free. Ladies go out and they can drink for free for the whole night in Dubai. It's all summer. You can go, you can drink for free. Always for ladies. Because the ladies go, the men will follow, definitely.
Right.
So they get the ladies in, they get the guys in, the guys drink.
You'd want to exercise a bit of self-control, I think.
Oh, stop, it's unreal. That's why I've got a bit of a beer belly. It's great for the ladies because everything is free.
Fucking brilliant.
Yeah. But you don't get it, obviously, yeah?
No, but I mean, like, it's a location for a place for all the girls to go, so the fellas obviously follow, like.
Right. There's a pint of Guinness. You're great, thanks very much. Cheers. Now, we're outside the pub here now in Dubai. Do you enjoy working and living here in Dubai?
Yeah, it's fantastic. Been here about 6 months now. The weather is a great bonus, I must say. It's getting very hot now again, so, do you know? But the lifestyle, brilliant. Yes. Ladies, they drink free most nights in Dubai. Fantastic it is. Do you know, beach, the pool every day or whatever. Yeah. It's great. There's an awful lot of Irish and English over here. So, you know, we kind of all socialise together and that. You could walk anywhere at any hour of the morning and you'd be fine. No crime at all over here.
And why is that? Are they just all very law-abiding people or what is it?
I think
or good-natured people or what?
I think the punishment is too severe over here, so it just keeps them away from it. We have no homemade meals here. We're like, the Irish village is the best.
Yeah.
Like,
Derek
and his mash.
You can eat pork here.
We can't eat pork or rashers or...
Nothing like that, so you can get that
come here for our breakfast on a Friday morning. This is way more cosmopolitan and, like, you know, there's so many more Western people, whereas in Sharjah there's not many Westerners living there. Did the Sheikh put in a rule that, or is it?
Yeah,
because he can, no drinking, you have to be covered up completely, well, up to your shoulders or your elbows seemingly and your knees, but you can get away with it. And
in Sharjah,
then he's kind of cut back a lot.
And you cover your knees, like, I wouldn't really wear this in Sharjah, I'd be covered.
You have a top on, you know, that has the, your arms are exposed,
yeah,
just saying,
yeah,
you wouldn't wear that.
No,
way of living,
no, yeah. We're sort of t-shirt style and
sleeves,
and down to past your knees.
We went training one night actually, and it was in Sharjah University where we were training, and I was just wearing my Limerick jersey or whatever, and I had a pair of shorts on, and I completely forgot that it was in Sharjah because usually we train in Dubai, you know. And next thing, we were coming out of the university and the policemen were all kind of guarding the university, and they stopped us, and myself and another girl, and we're in our shorts. Next thing, they kind of said, do you know where you are? And we were like, yeah, we do. And she goes, do you understand the rules of this emirate? And we're like, what rules? You know, completely oblivious, going, no, we'll just pretend we don't know, like. And we just left us go anyway and gave us an old slap on the wrist and said, look, you have to be covered up. And the next week they pulled us out of training in the university, seemingly because we were caught wearing, like, not being fully clothed. And
like you have right now, your shoulders.
No, I had a jersey. Like, I had my shoulders, it was just my knees that were showing.
I see.
And they were
I
not
see.
Impressed by it at all, really.
Yeah. You don't walk down the street drunk. You don't go around wearing clothes that you can see your knees or your shoulder, and you just get on with it, it's fine.
Being a dry state, does that bother you at all, being a dry state while you're living in?
Not really, because we come into Dubai an awful lot and we socialise here. If you're a
free
woman
drinks.
And you drink, basically you're sorted. I remember emailing all my friends at home going, girls, get out here now, because on a Tuesday night you get maybe 10 free drinks, on a Wednesday night you go to other bars, different bars, and you kind of do a bar, kind of whatever, bar... crawl, and you just get free drinks the whole night. You could go out with maybe a tenner, and that's your taxi money.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
Perfect.
One pub gives 5 free drinks if you get in before a certain time, and the next pub, you've like 2 hours to drink that, gets the next pub, 3 free drinks, next pub.
Do you get to speak any Arabic or meet any?
No, only when you're telling the children to be quiet. You go halas to tell them to stop, and just little things like that.
Taxi man, Sida, straight on.
Yeah.
What's that one? God saving, God willing.
Book art.
Oh, I can't think of that one. It is good fun, I must say. It's total change. It's not, you don't know what to expect, but it's really good fun.
Yeah.
You get your standard of living here is just fantastic in comparison to what you'd be doing at home.
We've been on 4 holidays this year since August.
That's teaching then as well. Yeah. Good,
so we were just back from Sri Lanka about a month ago. We went home to Ireland for 2 weeks. We went to Oman, been to Bahrain. Yeah. I'd go for a holiday in June when we finish up here. So it'll be 5 holidays in 1 year.
To Jordan or the Lebanon or
something. I'd like to go to Lebanon as well. Yeah.
So what do people do in Sharjah? To go out, do they sit and drink coffee or?
More. You'd see all the men in their dish dashes and the women in their abayas, and the women go shopping. The men sit down, have their coffee, and then they go.
Yeah, that is basically it.
It's
they're
really a shopping,
all these men.
Their culture is shopping, I think.
So prayer time again, yeah?
Prayer time, yeah.
That's a prayer.
Yep.
And Michelle, is there a mosque here in the souk here?
No, I don't know if there's a mosque. If there's a mosque here.
This is here in Sharjah. This is where you're living.
Yeah, and we're just living like 15 minutes from here, I'd say, so... Great to come down. It's so cheap down here then as well. It's fantastic just to see it.
And this particular souk or marketplace we're in, it seems to be mainly gold, is it?
Yeah, basically it's mainly gold and it's all 24 carats, so it doesn't look like the gold at home. It's all it's more of a coppery gold and it's much more expensive. But at home, if you were to buy it, it'd be unbelievably expensive. But here it's quite cheap. And you get silver then as well, and then carpets and anything you want, really. Pashminas, fantastic. Wall hangings, everything.
Great.
Everything and anything. You can get a great price. They'll haggle you down, or you can haggle them down, let's say, to great old prices.
And what are you thinking of buying today?
Hopefully for the ball on Thursday night. I want to see if I can buy a nice chain or something, but that's about it.
Nice Pashmina shawls here.
It looks gorgeous on your shelf. Can you give me a better price?
This is 20 for it, like this.
20? The other man said he gave me for 10.
This is different.
Okay, it's different. Oh.
This is that thing. See the quality? This is different. Okay. Yeah, this is missing 60. This one.
If I come back, you give it to me for 20, yeah?
No problem. If you want this, I will give you that. 10 dirhams.
No, I don't want 10 dirhams. I have a few of these already, so that's okay. This is different. This is nicer. There's more of a design on this one. Oh, 8 dirhams. Very good. Everybody else, 10. Good man.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe come back another... maybe later, okay? 20.
Is this what I think it is? A hookah, is it? Or?
No, it's a shish kebab.
And what are you smoking at?
But, flavoured tobacco. If you can get apple or blackcurrant or anything, you put it in here. They're like coals. Just put them in the top. And you smoke through it. It's just like regular tobacco, except it makes you feel really sick the next morning.
Have you tried it?
Yeah. It makes you feel water. Very, very sick.
This is all filled with water, and the smoke goes down through it and up through the pipe then.
It's like a hookah that would be used for smoking cannabis and stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, but the exact same.
But I understand that they're very severe on drugs in this country, are they?
Absolutely,
they don't,
Just no, zero tolerance. You never hear of them. Do you know at home you see them in clubs and stuff? You never, ever, ever see them around here. You just wouldn't dare. You wouldn't.
Actually,
I'll have a Diet Coke, please. No. Go for the real. No drinks there. None at all. No pubs, nothing. Very dry altogether. You're not allowed to mention pigs at all. Like, we have books in school, Three Little Pigs. It's actually called Three Little Kids. About goats instead. You're not allowed to mention pigs, or you can't say the room is a pigsty. Nothing. Not allowed to mention them at all.
They told you this, did they?
Yeah. They see them as disgusting and dirty, and they just don't talk about them at all.
Like, they got stickers for the kids, and it had very good with the pig in the background, and that was a big no-no.
Yeah, and one teacher as well mentioned that. I don't know who it was. They said, was it you, Mary? I'm not sure. She was saying, like, look at your desk or look at your bag. It's a pigsty, and... The minute you say it, all the kids go, you know, it's a big, like, hesitance, and it's like, oh my goodness, did you just say that? And
The school hands them out and says, don't use the pig sticker.
Don't use the pig sticker.
So you can use the bears and everything else, but no pigs.
And just looking around, this year, the people at the next table are in traditional dress. The man there is in a dish dash, as it was called.
Yeah, dish dash. And I'm not sure what the head's dress is called. I think it's the whole outfit of the dish dash.
Yeah, the traditional Arab costume.
Yeah, and the children then as well, they wear it.
I'm walking past to see some of the women are wearing the black and others black are not. So it seems to be like just
I think
of
it depends, yeah, a matter of choice and whether how religious they could be or maybe their
I think it's the husband's choice
as well,
because they can just have like the scarf or they can have the whole of eye, or they can have their eyes covered and the hands covered, or you can just have your face showing. It depends.
Yeah. I think when we got over here first, we were a little bit intimidated by the women going by, and the men wasn't too bad. I think it was the women, because I got the impression they were looking at you kind of going, why aren't you covered up and you're showing too much of your body? And, you know, you don't know if they're looking at you because they're basically their face is covered, and it's very mysterious kind of, and but then you just get used to it. Yeah. I think it can be kind of, I don't know...
It's very uncomfortable, I would think. It has to be uncomfortable with the heat. And just trying to eat, you have to pull out the face part and try and eat up under that.
Yeah.
And try to walk around with it. It's down to your toes always.
And you can just imagine as well what they're wearing underneath. If they look so good, I'd say they're stunning underneath their clothes. They're probably like
fabulous. And they're buying the mini skirts and the little boot tubes and everything. And they dress up at home. They just don't do it in public. So.
And are the people happy, do you think?
I'm sure they have their own. Yeah, I'd say they are actually, but it's probably a very sober happy that they are. We enjoy the, you know, the weekends going into Dubai and things like that. So, yeah.
If you enjoyed this documentary, you might like to listen to our other Documentary on One productions. Visit rte.ie/docon1.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.